All right, we're going to be looking at, in our series through the book of 1 John, the beginning of 1 John chapter 4. So if you have a Bible, turn there. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one under the seat near you. And if you don't have a Bible, there's a little bookshelf out in the foyer that has Bibles and other resources back there. Please take a look at that. Pick up anything of interest to you. It is our gift to you. We're just really glad that you are here this morning. And again, we're going to be looking at 1 John 4, verses 1 through 6. If you're not familiar with the Bible, turn all the way to the end, Revelation, and back a few books, and you'll encounter 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And we're looking at 1 John chapter 4. And I'm going to just read some passages that deal with a topic that we're going to be talking about. And then I'm going to read some excerpts from what I would say would be a contemporary example of what is going on in the church today, and to recognize that this is not a new problem, but it is a problem that we encounter in the church today. So this is 1 John, starting in verse 1 of chapter 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So that passage is obviously dealing with false and deceptive prophets that have gone out and are claiming to be speaking by God's Spirit and are not really doing that. I'm going to read a few other passages just from the New Testament to let you know that this is not kind of a unique problem. This is in 2 Peter 2. You don't have to turn there. This is what Peter says to the believers. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality. And because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. In their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. This is from 2 Timothy 4. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having their ears itching, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Galatians chapter 1, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. This is from Colossians 2. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going into detail about visions puffed up without reason by a sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. This is from Acts 20. Pay careful attention, Paul is talking to the leaders of the church in Ephesus, to yourselves and to the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, and care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This is from 2 Corinthians 11. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes in and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. Indeed, I consider that I am not the least among these super apostles. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of life. So it is no surprise that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. So that's a bunch of scripture that I think let us know that false teaching and false prophecy, people who claim to speak for God and by his Spirit are going to abound. And to me, that was in a time even when there was persecution in the church and there wasn't a whole lot of benefit. There was some, obviously, from that because he talks about greed and those kind of things. But we live in a day and age now where the church is much more readily accepted, and I think the tendency towards this is even greater. I'm going to read some quotes from a book that I picked up. And it's talking about, this is a foreword by a guy that is the assistant lead pastor at this church, endorsing this book. It talks about, through their collective intelligence, this is a collection of different authors that they've brought together, these seers have emerged with new perspectives never before pondered. Okay, he sets up, this is a book that has new perspectives that have never before been pondered in the history of the church. It's talking about a second Pentecost here that's going to come with a sound, and they take that from Acts when the sound of a mighty rushing wind came in. And this book doesn't really focus on the fact that the word for sound or wind is the word for spirit, ruach or pneuma in the New Testament. And they say, well, it's not really the spirit, but it's this sound that's really important. And they say there's a new sound coming. The next thing the Lord told me, talking about this vision, is that he would soon release a sound from heaven that would literally change the structure of how we think. This new sound will transform us like the transformation spoken of in Romans 12, where it talks about be transformed by the renewing of your minds through the word of God. We don't need that anymore because there's this new sound that is coming. Our minds will be renewed so that we think like him and are no longer conformed to this world, but conformed to the will of God. Bringing heaven to earth is our mandate, and to do what we need to think, we need to think more like heaven. I began thinking about the day of Pentecost. 120 believers were in an upper room in Jerusalem when they heard a sound like a mighty rushing wind. It wasn't a wind, it was a sound. And when that sound ended, the thinking of those men and women were completely changed. The more I studied, the more I became convinced that God is preparing to reveal kingdom insights about sound. And if we receive and embrace these insights and revelations, we will finally become the children of God that creation has eagerly been longing for. Okay, we can't be the children of God now until we hear this sound, and that is what is going to make us the kind of people that creation is longing for. A lot of what I saw and heard in the New Age movement embodied biblical principles and could be backed up by Scripture. Now we are beginning to hear more and more revelation, that's prophecies given, that is in line with what New Agers have been saying all along. And we are hearing more and more teaching about Christians taking back truths from the New Age that really belong to the citizens of God. This is another guy speaking. What do you think that sound was that came? And you've mentioned vibration. I believe the vibration takes place in us. There are negative and positive vibrations. A positive vibration is like a portal into heaven. A negative vibration is like cancer. When the power comes, the positive will kill the negative. It's a vibration. Everything vibrates. Rocks, trees, everything vibrates. When we vibrate, I think it is opening a portal. The Old Testament speaks of windows or doors into heaven, and there are 300 of them. I have no idea where he gets that from. To me, they're like a funnel or a portal. There are 28 of them in the New Testament. Revelation 4:1 is about an open heaven, but it's really about an open portal and heaven coming down and touching earth. This is what I think happened at the day of Pentecost. We began having prophecies in 1995 that there's a new sound coming, a heavenly sound. This coming new sound isn't just something that you pick up with your ears, but it's greater than anything you can understand. It can change DNA so that we are genetically growing up. Your genetics are the same as his were. Our genetics come out of the Father in our spirit. We are becoming like an instrument tuned where our genetics are getting aligned with the Father's genetics in harmony with him. I'm not aware that the Father has genetics. The Son has genetics, but not the Father. And this is how they use scripture in here. Isaiah 66:2 says, I will look to him who trembles at my word. The word trembles in this verse can be vibration. And everything vibrates. But when we get in harmony with God, everything will vibrate in tune with us. Total authority was given to man. Do you have any idea what everything vibrating in harmony with God would do on the earth? No, I don't, but I don't know what they're speaking about here either. There's so much on every page of this book. I'm just going to pick them out some more. And this is how they deflect criticism. Listen to this. Considering that even Jesus himself was accused of walking in dark supernatural power when he was accused of doing these works by the power of Beelzebub, we should be prepared for the same accusation. As we reclaim our God-given gifts, there will always be those who accuse us of falling prey to counterfeit. I have found through scriptures at least 75 examples of things that the New Age has counterfeited, such as having a spirit guide, trances, meditation, auras, power objects, clairvoyance, clairaudience, and more. These actually belong to the church. This belongs to the church. I was amazed when I found in scripture, and there's hardly any scripture in this, but this does come. In Joshua 24:27, it says that, and Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. Was this Old Testament quantum physicist saying that matter has memory? So you're saying, okay, the stone's put up as a remembrance for people to walk by and say, okay, this is a witness. And he's saying, no, that stone actually has memory. And the new quantum mysticism, which we're discovering through the writings of Deepak Chopra and The Secret and all those kind of things, this is what God has for the church in these days. And they say this, faith is an energy force that affects the vibrational realm and can cause things to be brought from the invisible realm into the visible. And this is a teaching, by your words you speak reality into existence. Faith is an unseen energy force. It is not matter, but it creates matter and actually becomes matter. You have a choice to use the energy of your words to change matter. All right, this is the leader of this church, what he said about Jesus Christ. Jesus lived his earthly life with human limitations. He laid his divinity aside as he sought to fulfill the assignment given to him. If he performed miracles because he was God, then it would be unattainable for us. But if he did them as a man, I am responsible to pursue his lifestyle. the gospel requires miracles to be fully proclaimed. We cannot lose track of the fact that God has called us to invade the impossible and demonstrate his love, purity, and power. You see, what the lead teacher of the church is, to Jesus laid his divinity aside. Now, John in 1 John was talking about those that claim to speak by the Spirit of Christ, of God, and denied the reality that Jesus had come in the flesh. In the early centuries, people were pretty accustomed to believing that God is around. But the fact that God would invade a human being was something that they really struggled with. And there were several early heresies in the church that spoke to that. One was called asceticism, that just seemed like Jesus was a human being. And God kind of came on his humanity and then left his humanity before the crucifixion. Now I think people have more of a struggle understanding the deity of Christ. We will give Jesus all his humanity yet, and that's what this guy is saying. He laid his divinity aside. Now he takes that from Philippians chapter 2. And this passage talks about Christ, you know, though he was in the form of God, he did not kind of grasp onto the form of God. But it's pretty clear in that passage that what he laid aside was the form of God in taking the form of a human being. And as we were going through Colossians, we saw that in him, the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. But this guy is saying, no, there was no part of divinity in Jesus. Everything he did by the power of his Spirit. And you see why he's saying that? So that we can do the exact same things as God. And this woman in this book, she talks about, I had this vision, and once the vibrational new sound came, I saw Japanese believers pointing to a tsunami, and the tsunami just going flat. I saw people in America, a hurricane coming, and saying stop, and everything gets calm. I saw a tornado coming to a town, and the person said stop, and it just went down. I saw a wildfire burning, and the people said be extinguished, and it was extinguished. Does that, what I've read, seem consistent with the Word of God? And if you know me, you know I don't point out this kind of stuff regularly. But to me, this is from a church that's one of the faster growing churches in our country right now. It's from a church that probably has influenced praise and worship music probably more than any other church in our country in the last probably 10 years. This comes out of Bethel. And, you know, it was shocking because I love a lot of their worship. Jesus culture comes out of there, Bethel music. And you know me, and we've talked about this as elders, if the words of a song are okay and biblically orthodox, we will sing them. But the reality is that this stuff is coming out of the pit. The first guy that I saw come to Christ came out of the New Age movement. And Troy had amazing visual experiences and all kinds of stuff before he came to Christ. And when I say this stuff, I'm not doubting the sincerity of many that go to Bethel and have a heart. And I think this appeals especially to young people that want to take the world for Christ and turn the world upside down. And they hear, man, you can be just like Jesus. God's will is that you heal everybody. And those things sound amazing. And I want to make a difference in the world. But then you get into this and you say, what in the world is being taught there? It's a book called The Physics of Heaven. I'm not going to read a chapter about a guy that, you know, claimed to have an angelic visitation by the energy angel that said he was going to build a water car. He gave him the blueprints on a scroll about this water car that didn't have a transmission, that just had these power sources, and God was going to cure the energy crisis through this water car. Well, this was published in 2012. Anybody here seen any water cars around recently? Again, to me, you know, we look at this stuff and it's like, okay, Lord, I love a lot of their music. I really do. But there's a danger that stuff appeals to us. And then I'm not saying that everybody there gets sucked into this, but this is not teaching that is consistent with the Word of God. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. So the first point I want to make from this passage is be aware there's a lot of spiritual nonsense in the world and in the church. It says many false prophets have gone out. Back in chapter 2, verse 18, he says many antichrists have come. 2 John 7 says many deceivers have gone out into the world. In that passage from Acts 20, verse 30, Paul warns the teachers that from even within the church, there are going to be those who arise, men speaking twisted things to draw away disciples after them. Not followers of Jesus Christ, but you follow me. And this is 2 Peter 2:1 says that there will be false teachers among you who secretly bring in destructive heresies. It's not like false teachers hang up and say, okay, heresy 101 class is going to be the first classroom down the hall for Sunday school. That's where we're going to be bringing false teaching into the church. There's a secretive, there's a kind of back door that this sounds so good. The words they use sound right. And oftentimes these folks claim to be more spiritual than the rest. Paul encountered that in that 2 Corinthians passage. They call themselves super apostles. We're better than the apostles. Yeah, there was Pentecost, but this new Pentecost is coming. And when this comes and the sound hits me, I'm going to be able to speak in every language. I'm going to be able to say to that hurricane, get away. And like Jesus calmed the storm, I'll be able to calm bigger storms. Because doesn't it say that we'll do greater works than Jesus? And you don't worry about the word of God. Because didn't Jesus rail against those Pharisees who searched the scriptures and didn't come to him? And they say stuff like that, and you're like, well, yeah, Jesus did say that. But what was the criticism? Not that they were searching the scriptures, but they failed to see what the scriptures illuminated. And then when Jesus rises from the dead, what does he do on the road to Emmaus? He opens the scriptures to say, this is who I am, and it's been predicted. And they will say, oh, you don't need that. You can be overly concerned with the word. Don't worry about that word. We've got a new revelation. It's new. It's coming now. There's more power than ever before. And you just need to walk in that. And you just need to claim that. And you just need to speak your faith into reality. And no one will walk away not being healed. There's a problem with that. Paul says, Trophimus I left sick in Miletus. I guess Paul was having a bad faith day, huh? He tells Timothy, hey, Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach. He doesn't tell Timothy, hey, dude, where is your faith? Pray health to your stomach and it will happen, brother. No, he says, take a little wine. You've always got stomach problems. And so the reality is God is not healing everybody all the time, but that is what is preached. Benny Johnson, the wife of the pastor of this church, claims we should walk around barefoot for at least 30 minutes a day to connect ourselves with the energy of the earth. It creates healing and lack of inflammation in our bodies and things like that. And these claims are just made. And again, Bethel is just one. There's many deceptive teachings out there. And again, I'm not saying everybody associated with them buys into this whole program. But the reality is that there is deceptive teaching going on. And John and Peter and Paul let us know this shouldn't surprise us at all. Jesus said, false Christs and false prophets will appear doing signs and wonders. So be aware, they're going to be out there. Second, be spiritually skeptical. Verify what is being taught by the Word of God. It says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, talking about prophecies, and he says, test everything, hold fast to what is good. Dr. Luke in Acts 17:11, speaking about the Bereans, he says, the Bereans are more noble because they search the scriptures daily. Why? To see if what Paul was teaching was consistent with scripture. And my problem is a lot of these guys, you will hear, do not touch the Lord's anointed, right? I'm above criticism. I've heard Benny Hinn say that. I've heard Jim Baker say that recently as he was hawking his silver solution that would claim to cure coronavirus. If you judge me, you will be in danger of the judgment of God, equating what he's saying with God. And if I oppose that, then I'm opposing God. Folks, no human being, before we receive our resurrection, perfect bodies and minds, is above correction. Amen. What happens in Galatians 2? Paul rebukes who? Peter. Why? Because Peter was separating from the Gentile believers because he was fearing heat from his Jewish brothers in Jerusalem. And again, so many will make these amazing claims. Oh man, I had this incredible vision. Or, you know, there's one woman here who's like, oh, some of us just can't get up to heaven, but there's a woman here, one of the authors, contributors to this book, said she helps people get into heaven. She's like, oh, just get into heaven. It's so easy, it happens all the time. If you're struggling, meet with sister so-and-so and she'll get you into heaven. You look at Paul, when he's being confronted with the claims of these super apostles, and how does he brag? He doesn't say, yeah, everything amazing has happened to me. He talks about a vision about going to heaven, and I think it's Paul, and most scholars think it's Paul, but he's so hesitant to talk about that, he says, okay, there was a man that 14 years ago, but he can't even speak about what happened. And it's pretty clear he's talking about himself. And then he goes on to boast and brag. But he doesn't go on to boast and brag about, hey, I've had these amazing visions. You know, I've called this reality. I've healed hundreds of people. I've raised the dead. I've done all this kind of stuff. No, he says, you know, I was shipwrecked. I was beaten. I was kicked out of town here and here and here. What does he brag about? All his hardships, all those kind of things. And he turns it on its head and saying, this is the stuff that you glory in, not yourself, but Jesus Christ working in and through you, even in the midst of the difficulties of the world. Amen. And folks, I think if Paul, walking by the Spirit, had the power to calm the seas when he was on the ship that got shipwrecked, he would have just said, be calm. I don't throw any of the tackle overboard. Don't throw the supplies overboard. I'm just going to calm this wind. Be calm. And he doesn't do that. Sometimes I think as believers, we're very naive. We just will take a spoon and we'll take it in. And to me, the tenor of Scripture is be skeptical. There's a lot of nonsense out there. Test everything. And I think be especially skeptical when that stuff appeals to my flesh. When it itches that ear. It's like, yeah, Brett, you can do whatever you want. Yeah, God wants you to be rich, and it's all about you and having what you want. Ah, we're not going to talk about the cross. No, no, no. I heard a friend from Houston in the dome there saying, you know what? Most people, 99% of people have a good heart. They have a good heart. Is that true, scripturally? Jeremiah 17:9 says what? The heart is what? Desperately wicked. And the beauty of the gospel is that Jesus Christ, despite our desperate wickedness, loves us. He took our place. He lived a perfect life. He died the death that I deserved. And he has taken out of me that decrepit heart and put in me a heart of flesh that's responsive to him. Before I knew Christ, my heart was not a good heart. I know what was there. So be especially cautious when it's like, oh, that sounds so great. It fits in with exactly what I want to do. And that passage from Timothy says, you know, there's kind of this complicity between the speaker and the audience. You tell me things that I want to hear, and I'll make sure it goes well for you. I want to hear this stuff, so you tell me, okay? And then we'll just be good. Just don't ruffle any feathers. Don't talk about sin. Don't talk about conviction. Don't talk about God's call of holiness after you come to trust. Don't speak about that. Just say, be nice and do nice things. And we're all pretty nice to begin with, so we'll just be nice together. Be warmed, be filled, go home, be nice. So how do we test the spirits? Well, I think John gives us two tests here. The first deals with the character and the nature of Jesus. When you're hearing a teaching, listen closely to who these people say that Jesus is. By this, you know the Spirit of God. Verse 2, every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've heard was coming and is now in the world already. What do they say about Jesus? Was he the very Son of God that took on human flesh? And that is a mystery, but both of those are held together in the church, teaching throughout all of history. And is this Christ the one that came? And as we looked at the beginning of 1 John, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, that life was made manifest. We've seen it, testified to it, proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. He's saying, we touched him, we were with him, we saw him. This is the reality, and this is the Christ that I proclaim. And like I said, at that point in time, the issue was not the deity of Christ that people struggled with primarily. It was the humanity of Christ. So they would deny that Christ came in the flesh. It just seemed like he was in the flesh. But I think in our culture now, it's a fact that Jesus was actually God. And you see that in the teaching that Jesus emptied himself of his divinity. He was just a guy like you and me. And we have to be really careful with how words come across too. Because false teachers often will use the same word that we use, but invest it with a whole different meaning. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We'll push a little bit into that. Who is this Jesus? Well, he was the brother of Lucifer. And the Mormons have a saying, as man is, God once was. As God is, man will be. So, God was just like one of us. What if God was one of us? Remember that great song? Just like me. And at all of this, this appeals to our flesh. I want to be God, right? All the way back to Genesis, you will be like God. Jesus is the unique Son of God. Yes, I am a Son of God, but I am not divinity. The fullness of deity does not dwell in me. I do not do everything that the Father tells me to do. He's unique, monogenetic, monogenes. That's the idea, this unique and only or only begotten. It's how it's translated, the one, only, unique Son of God. And yes, I am a Son of God in certain ways, but not like Jesus. So be very careful and look at what people are talking about when they talk about who is this Jesus. So the first test, what do they say about Jesus? The second test is what they teach consistent with the teaching of the apostles and the witnesses of Jesus Christ? Look at verse 6. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. John is saying, what they teach needs to be consistent with what we teach. How does the word fit into their doctrine, their teaching, their dogma? And one of the quotes, and I won't open it up again, but he's saying, you know, we need to get beyond our minds and beyond our dogma and just be open to whatever God wants for us. So don't worry about that. If you're thinking too much about Scripture, just blow it off. That's what the Pharisees were doing. Just be open to these vibrations, to this new sound, and then everything amazing will happen in your life. Again, I don't see anything in Scripture that talks about a second Pentecost that's going to be brought in by strange quantum physical sound vibrations that we perceive as super spiritual Christians, and then we change the world, and it is our mandate to bring heaven to earth. Yes, I am part of the kingdom, and I need to live towards that kingdom, but to me, what brings heaven to earth is the Son of Glory in Revelation when heaven and earth come together And you know what? I'm not him. Yes, I need to work for justice and all of these kind of things. I need to pray for people for healing. I'm not one that believes all these gifts have ceased, but I think a lot of what is practiced is nonsense. And when we go too far into that realm and claim too much, we get off base biblically. Again, a few things to note here. Don't be duped by size and success. Verse 5, they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. 2 Peter 2:2, many will follow their deceitful teachings and shameful ways. The religion of Oprah is really, really popular. And you see some of these things, and they have a mass amount of popularity. And the tendency is like, oh, wow, we're just, you know, not that big. We don't have that much of an influence. And look at, so they must be being blessed by God, right? That's our Western mantra. Bigger is always better. And if they're experiencing blessing, as we look at blessing in the eyes of the world, the numbers are bigger, the money's there, everything's going great, then they must be speaking for God. John says, watch out. They're attuned to the world and they know what the world wants to hear. And they can market themselves and they can push themselves in such a way that's like, wow, that's just awesome. I want to be part of that. And don't be duped by signs and wonders. In Mark 13, verse 22, Jesus says there's going to be false Christs and false apostles that appear and perform signs and wonders such that they might even deceive the elect. In the book of Revelation, the beast that comes out of the land, he's going to do signs and wonders to deceive. A lot of us are familiar with the passage in Deuteronomy 18 and judging a prophet, that a prophet has to speak what comes true. And if he doesn't speak what comes true, then he's a false prophet. But there's a passage in Deuteronomy 13. Don't turn there. I'll just read it to you. It says, if a prophet or dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or wonder, and the sign or wonder that tells you about comes to pass, and if he says, let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. So he's saying there's going to be false prophets that come, and they do amazing things. Remember what happened in the Exodus, the first plagues. You know, you go into the court of Pharaoh, and the magician is like, pah, we can do that too. No big deal. To recognize that there is spiritual power in the world is something that all Christians should know. There's spiritual power out there. And everything that happens that people claim to happen, some of it, I think, actually does happen. Some of it, I think, is totally fabricated. But my friend from the New Age, when he had those awesome meditation experiences with light and all that kind of stuff, I think that was reality happening to him. The question is, what is the source of that? And we live in a very experiential generation that, man, if it's happened, it's got to be good. I had this amazing experience. It was credible. Yeah, and now it's leading me to this path, and I'm realizing how much truth is in the New Age, and now I can see people's auras, and I can communicate with the dead, and all these amazing things that can happen, and I'm realizing, man, that old prophets have this mantle, and we have not picked up the mantle of the old prophets, and we need to do that to experience the reality that God has us for us now. And the reality is, don't be duped by that kind of stuff if it causes you to depart from Christ and the truth of his word. Jesus said some strong words. A wicked and adulterous generation is always seeking a sign. Now again, I'm not a cessationist. I believe that God heals and he works in powerful ways today. My dad was 32 when he was sent home with metastatic melanoma stage 4. Chunk of his shoulder was taken out and said, prepare to die. Get your affairs in order, basically. The church prayed for him, and my dad lived till he was 85. I wasn't even born at the time. So I know God can heal, and he does heal. But if a healing is accompanied by something else and saying, you know what, that word, that's okay, but there's something much bigger and much better God wants for us that's outside of there. This is new revelation. It's new things. And I know all of us, I want to see God just zap everybody and all world hunger end and the coronavirus go away and there be peace and harmony in every family and every kid's son or daughter gets into Harvard and becomes a superstar. I want that for everybody, right? But the reality is we live in a broken world. And that brokenness is going to continue until the Lord Jesus returns. And yes, I need to work as much as I can to alleviate that brokenness in the here and now, but to do it in the way that God has said. And one kind of final thought. There are some out there in the church that I call heresy hunters, that they are just looking for other believers to misspeak, to say something that they can immediately post on the web and discredit somebody. Look at what Helvey said. He said, yeah. Have you talked to me? Have you asked me what I said? I said, oh yeah, that was stupid, I misspoke, I meant to say this and I said that. So be gracious with one another. And the reason I brought this up, because this book, if you search for it online, the place that it shows up is Bethel's Bookstore. The foreword is by Chris Vallotton, who is the second lead pastor after. There's contributions by Bill Johnson and his wife, Benny, in this book, and many people that are associated with that. The Jesus Culture guy is one of the endorsers of this book, and it's like, this hurts my heart. And it's like, okay, I want to give people the benefit of the doubt, and I've held back on this because of that, but it's like, this is right out there front and center. And we live in a culture where music is huge, and I don't want people to be deceived because the music is awesome, but the doctrine is horrible. So just be aware, but be gracious. Remember the story? Jesus' disciples come to him, and it's like, Jesus, there's guys casting out demons in your name. We told them to stop. Jesus says, no, don't. No one can speak well of me and in the same, or do something amazing through me in the same breath, speak awful about me, but, you know, be careful. Be careful. So my encouragement to us is that we be people of the word. And increasingly in our culture, the word does not hold much sway. I'd rather listen to a teaching, I'd rather do this than to dig into the word myself. Folks, I want to urge you to be noble like the Bereans. Don't believe what I say, but test it. Because we can, I think, in this process, get so cynical that we don't believe anybody. I don't think that's where God wants us to be. But also, he doesn't want us to be over here where we're so naive. It's like, oh, the worship was awesome. And then this was taught. It's like, oh, yeah, great. That's not appropriate either. We need the discernment of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God to help us to evaluate. John says, beloved, I love you guys. You're children of God. He who is in you that's greater than he who is in the world. Don't be overwhelmed by this, but be wise about this. Test what is said. Hold fast to what is good. Throw out what is evil. Let's pray. Father, we wish that this wasn't so. And in one sense, I didn't want to say anything this morning, but Lord, I just felt compelled to say some stuff. It's not with joy, but it's with sadness. And I just pray for hearts that would be turned to you in repentance, that would be filled with the truth of your word, that teachers would teach consistent with your word, to hold on and to hang on and to hold fast to the teaching of the apostles. Lord, we come and we ask for your discernment. We ask for wisdom in the midst of this world to love you, Lord. That is what we want to do. We struggle to do that. to see you work through our lives to bring healing and hope and change is what we want to see happen. Yet, Lord, help us to want you more than we want our impact and our feeling good about ourselves and our ministry or worship success. Lord, thanks for John and Peter and Paul that let us know that it's going to be messy. But Lord, help us. Don't make us cynical. Don't make us those that tear down brothers and sisters without any due cause. But by the same token, Lord, help us not to be naive. Help us to walk with you. And Lord, even this week, in this time of coronavirus, may we share your life and your love with those around us. We pray for your protection. We pray just that we would value the things that you value. We would hold high Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, come to this earth, walked among us, lived a perfect life, died the death that we deserve, raised to newness of life, now interceding for us. Lord, we exalt and we magnify and we worship him. And we thank you for all that you've done. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.